Hello and welcome to ILC Home Claims Week. In 2020, we're holding a virtual conference as opposed to a physical one, but let's all hope that we're back meeting with each other next November. First of all, I want to say thanks. We've had lots of interest in the support we've been able to provide through 2020. And of course, 2020 is indeed the theme of the Home Claims Week. We're going to look at how we adapted, what we learned, and what we're going to change. And I think it's fair to say that the home claims world has risen to the many, many challenges that we've been set through 2020. And we're looking forward to a great week, webinars and podcasts, where we're going to look at how we understand each other's businesses, how we collaborated and worked together, how we looked at cost and pricing, and it might help us move forward, tech and the process, alternative accommodation, subsidence, and of course, contractors and building claims. But I guess the biggest thank goes to our sponsors and corporate partners, without whom we wouldn't really be able to do this. Headline sponsor of Claims Consortium Group, so thanks to Jeremy and the team. Other sponsors are Service Certainty, Sedgwick's, Coraventa, Safeline, GeoBear, SCI, and of course our corporate partners, Carpenters, CoreLogic, SiteCall, Innovation Group, iCab and Synergy. If you're interested in having a commercial relationship with I Love Claims, contact either myself or my colleague Nick Sproul. Anyway, the biggest thanks is to you. Throughout the year, you tuned in to our 20-odd webinars, which we hope have really helped us through some difficult times. And of course, we're not out of the woods yet, so we will continue to support you by hoping that we can be better tomorrow from what we learned today. Anyway, without any further delay, let's get on with this session. The first session that we're having on Home Claims Week this morning is a podcast where we're going to take a look at alternative accommodation. And they really did face probably the biggest initial challenge that happened when we first went down to lockdown back in March. So when you look at the ability of 2020 and to look at how we adapted, what we learned and what we changed, I think it's pretty good to take a look at this part of our interest. Because, wow, I mean, they were faced with some fantastic overnight challenges that they rose to. And I think today, what we're going to do in quite a number of the podcasts and in the webinars, we're going to take a look and we're going to catch our breath a little bit. Because if we are going to, we have adapted, and if we are going to learn and change going forward, then we have to take a breath, take a look at what was achieved and how we move forward. And that's what we plan to do today. And I am delighted to have three of our claims colleagues with us. Tim Goodwin, old friend Tim of iCab, one of our corporate partners. Owen Pugh from Claims Consortium Group, who are, of course, the headline sponsor of Home Claims Week. And Martin Oldroyd from Alternative Accommodation, also known as Accommodation Connect, who also one of the sponsors of our building conference. So delighted to have all three of you on. Look forward to the next 25 minutes or half an hour of chatting about it and how well we did. So I'm actually going to start by making you reflect a little bit. And I'll come to you, Owen, first to answer the question I'm going to do, because you use alternative accommodation and you had to. So what I'm going to say, and this applies to the whole claims industry, but let's take a look at particular the people that were out their homes after some pretty big floods as well, by the way, not timed. So if I had said to you chaps back last year or even in January, I said, right, here's what's going to happen in our market. And overnight, you're going to move all your people out your office to working from home. You're going to have the systems working and the people working. Whether you're a big company, a medium company, or a small company, that's what you're going to have to do. But by the way, if you have policyholders that you look after who are in alternative accommodation and they're in hotels, could you get them out by the morning, please? All hundreds of them, or thousands, I don't know how many there was, and get them into other accommodation. Well, you're moving your people out. If I'd said that to you, I'm going to go round one at a time. If I'd said that's what's going to happen, though, and we're all going to cope with it fantastically, if I'd said that to you a year ago, what would your response have been?
I think I've probably asked for a couple of weeks annual leave initially. but actually, on reflection, I think not only our business, but the industry has dealt with it incredibly well and far better than I think anyone could have expected us to. it is a daunting task. You know, managing a claim in peacetime is sometimes challenging enough. And so trying to deal with it with Alan, all of those challenges you referred to, obviously bring a lot of complications. I guess as far as we're concerned, and I'll talk on behalf of Claims Consortium Group, but it's more of an industry view, is that we've had some fantastic IT teams and some great infrastructure that's allowed us to respond really, really quickly. So us individually, we were at home, operational, and almost the new BAU within a day or so of the official lockdown, you know, noting that we probably saw it coming, and so did quite a lot of moving parts in the few days beforehand. And then specific to AA, which is obviously the topic of conversation, but just more generally about managing both claims and repairs and the movement of claims throughout this period, there's two really important words for us. Number one is data, and number two is oversight. So the ability to know where our customers are, where they are within their claim and what their preferences are, help us triage what is important and what we need to react to and who we do need to speak to if there is an alternative accommodation challenge, i.e. I'm in a hotel and this hotel is about to say, we're now going to be shut for the next 3 months. How do we react, by way of example? And equally, the oversight and the market intelligence that both we've tried to collect individually, but have been massively supported by both our alternative accommodation providers and the wider contractor and supply chain network that we work with, that gives us that insight. Everything from relentless levels of communication over the phone and via email, through to setting up a whole bunch of Twitter alerts, Google alerts, news feeds that help us understand what's going on. The UK has been very good at keeping us informed, despite what some people think about Boris and others. And we have a clear understanding of which areas, which industries, which hotel chains, you know, are going to do something slightly different. And it means we can react accordingly.
I think that's quite a challenge, isn't it? I mean, that's been part of the big challenge, is having the data is really good. Tim, you were left with it overnight, so you've got the challenges, and fortunately people like Owen and some of the other companies can get you good information, but you've got your own information and you were faced with it as well. You know, I'm moving everybody out and I'm moving policyholders out as well. How did you react? I mean, would you have believed that you were capable of doing that before you had to?
So, good morning to everyone. I suppose the answer is no. Like Owen, I think probably a bit of panic might have come across us. I think really, the first thing I'd like to say is I think huge credit should go to everyone working in the AA sector within our industry. Kind of went a little bit unnoticed. Hopefully people are now realising the job that we all had to do. Certainly from ICAV's perspective, overnight, moving over 400 policyholders out of hotels into service departments, as I'm sure Martin had to do as well. All I can say is credit to the staff that worked 24 hours, 48 hours constantly to move these clients. What I will say is that the policyholders were very understanding, along with adjusters, insurers. There was flexibility there, so that helped a lot. But yeah, communication with everyone along the way, as Owen said, making sure adjusters and insurers were kept informed. Certainly our portal was a great saviour, informing, keeping everyone up to date with where that claim was with regards to accommodation and the moving. So the portals was a good form of communication. But it was quite incredible how well the AA sector did, looking after everyone. And like I said, within 48 hours, we had everyone out of hotels and into different forms of accommodation. Certain providers were helpful and gave us 48 hours. A major supplier that we worked with gave us 3 hours. And we had over 100 policyholders in their hotel group, and we had to move them all out within a few hours. So I think a lot of credit to the industry, to the accommodation sector. And a job really well done, and it helped with such unusual circumstances out there that policyholders who normally would be demanding and would possibly raise complaints to having to move out of accommodation again, you know, not only from their home to a hotel, but having to move again sometimes a matter of days later, were very understanding and appreciated the position. But I think it proves that when push comes to shove, we're capable, our industry, of all working together and looking after clients.
There are lots of examples of that, if there's any question. Martin, I'm going to ask you the same question. But you, from recollection, you had one additional issue with that, in that week you had just moved into some new offices around that week, didn't you? So you had to do all of this. Well, you were halfway through, one chair in, one chair out. Different company, a different size of company. How did Accommodation Connect deal with it?
Yes, I think I'd have to say the timing wasn't great. But going back to your original question, you know, going back to the beginning of the year, do you think you would have been able to cope with all what went on? I think I'd have to say no. It's only when something like this actually happens that you test the resilience and the adaptability of an organisation. I'm not saying that it's good to be tested in the way that we were, but I think, you know, as an industry, we've all dealt with the huge floods that hit the country every now and again. We've got different types of systems in place to deal with that. But when lockdown happened and having to move everybody out of hotels, I'm going to use probably the most overused word of the year so far, but it was unprecedented. There was no, you know, there was no guidebook to follow. It was just a question of just getting on with it, doing what you had to do. And I think Tim's right. You know, I'm sure it was the same for him. So many people really lost. What do we do now? We've got to be out of the hotel in 24 hours' time. What's going to happen? And it was a big challenge for everybody involved. And I think, you know, Owen's right. The key to it really is communication. There was just fantastic communication between policyholders, suppliers, claims handlers, insurers. This needed to be done, that needed to be done. Let's get on with it, let's do it. Systems like Synergy, CCG are great for pulling everyone together and everybody then knowing what, you know, the left hand knowing what the right hand's doing and being able to just make sure that everything goes as well as it possibly can. But yeah, we had one foot in our new offices and one foot in our old offices. And to be honest now, we still haven't properly moved into our new offices, even though they're not new any longer. But yeah, it was challenging.
Oh, bro, just before I go back to Owen, Tim, one for you though, because I think that, well, quite rightly, all our customers ask is what's going to happen if we have a disaster and what's our plan, etc. We may have had a plan. I guess you may have had a disaster recovery plan for getting everybody out of your office and working from home. Would we have had a disaster recovery plan for saying, oh, by the way, all the hotels in the UK are shutting tonight? Had we ever even thought of that as a possibility before this occurred?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you can have all the DR plans in place as much as you want, but you know, they're kind of in place for other things that you think about just with life and being in business and owning businesses. But I don't think anyone could see this coming. And only when you need to put it into action, you actually realise how good it is. And for everything we've got with all our DR plans, a lot of it worked. But you know, let's be honest, there were some places that we thought we could be better. The phone system was one of them where we were very proactive. A week before lockdown, we had everyone on laptops working from home. So the IT was all up and running. The phone system, which can take longer, as we all know, didn't work as well as we'd want with everyone working remotely. And we've learned from that. So from a disaster recovery, now moving into the second lockdown, we still got the offices closed and everyone working remotely. and pleased to say that that part of our disaster recovery is now sorted. But I think if we're honest, from a business point of view, I don't think anyone saw this coming. And we could only do what we could to the best of our ability. And I think we've done that, and we've all performed really well.
I think fantastically. I think there's a lot of great examples over the whole of the industry of things going. But this was one that, at the time, I think I've reflected with, certainly with both the alternative accommodation guys, so I think I've reflected in that with the whole industry. Owen, however, when this happened, some of the things that you were doing come to fruition, even if it wasn't designed for exactly this. And you've mentioned data. And of course, we have so many discussions about people saying collecting data is great, but do we collect the right data? Is it long data? Who really uses it? Then we have people saying, like insurers quite rightly inform us, well, we need to collect some of this because we've got regulators in our back. You guys, like if you're, you collect data, and all of a sudden we have, to use Martin's overused word, unprecedented situation that we can't have managed. And just at that point, data that you may have designed for all sorts of other things seems to, you seem to be saying earlier, is the thing that comes in and really helps you plan your way through this. So is that the big argument for data and perhaps the most data sharing within the industry?
For me, data is a massive benefit and a massive hindrance to the industry. For data to be collected, it needs to do something. It needs to tell a story. It needs to help you. Otherwise, it's just a burden to your process and how long it takes to do things. On day one, we didn't have a data set that told us how many customers were self-isolating or how many customers were in a postcode where that location is in a specific tier and comes with different rules. But we have the luxury of a really flexible and dynamic system, which means we can click a few buttons and it's there. So we now do know which customers are in an isolation category because of vulnerability or because they are self-isolating, or, you know, we have to treat customers in Wales slightly different to England because of the, you know, specific legislation, location by location, sort of territory by territory. And with the ability to both, one, I guess, have the data, and two, change the way we record the data and the type of data we record quickly, it means we can keep the regularly changing oversight. And then all of a sudden we can see, right, on a given day, how many customers are in this bucket, how many customers are being affected, what do we need to do to react to those customers, and off the back of that, then our processes change. So we need to call them, we need to speak to them, we need to move them, we need to ask them if they're okay, we need to put in additional health check calls, all those additional soft touches and rapport things. There's a phrase that goes around this industry a lot, which is, we always perform at our best when we're in surge. And whether or not this is unprecedented or not, this was a surge. It was a spike in activity that was non-weather driven, but we still had to, you know, really up our game, pull up of our stocks and react to something that means we need to work a hell of a lot harder than normal. And that's what everyone's done. You know, and certainly the guys around this virtual table, as it were, are inclusive of that. Specific to AAA, sort of trying to keep on the right subject line, we knew on day one, because it's one of our many obligatory reporting requirements, how many customers are all in alternative accommodation or are affected because of a bathroom or a kitchen or something that caveats that sort of AA burden. And as a result, it was, of course, a focus for us to keep really, really close to those customers, making sure that the situation they're in is sustainable. And if not, working with our AA providers to work through that solution. And it was, you know, something that had to be reacted to immediately, because to Tim's point, you got very, very short notice from some of these providers about a change that was going to be made. So we had to react accordingly. The one final thing I'd say is that although the pressure has been on, the whole country's been in this together. So actually our customer base has been incredibly accommodating to this. They obviously still need a roof over their head, but the reaction to this change has not been as a result of failure of our service, which has helped in the empathy level from our customers in helping us work our way through this. We've all been in it together. So that has assisted with the situation, but it hasn't made data be vital, nor the importance of communicating and supporting our customers throughout all of this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is quite interesting because you mentioned quite rightly, it's like a surge, but the beginning of the surge was awkward because there was a surge to do certain things, but there was an inactivity because we weren't able to go in and repair stuff. I mean, the accommodation stuff was busy, but of course contractors and things were a bit of down tools. We've probably, I guess, seen a bit of a change in attitude. Well, the attitude was great from policyholders in April. People are a bit tired of it now, and I think we're hearing stories of it becoming a little bit more awkward for people, but by and large, still accommodating. But Martin, I remember when we were doing Tim on before, and we've talked about the ability to get the right information through to allow you to make decisions quicker. So the sort of stuff that Owen's talking about must be really valuable to allow you to make decisions a lot quicker and more accurately in the benefit of your clients.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than valuable, to be honest with you, Alan. It's critical, especially in times like this. You're always trying to make the right decision for the policyholder. We're always looking at individual customers' needs. We're looking at what the best solution is for them, whether, I mean, obviously, there wasn't a huge amount of choice accommodation-wise during lockdown. Hotels were out, but there was plenty of short-let accommodation, and of course there were temporary mobile kitchens and bathrooms and pods and those sort of things. But it's easy to make an assumption about the accommodation requirement before you've actually spoken to the customers and found out what their requirements are, and then you can look at then, okay, do they need to be at home? Do they need to be near a school? Do they need to be on a bus route? I mean, we've had that before. So the more, I mean, you can't have enough information, put it that way. The more information, the better. The more information you've got, you can make a more informed decision. But again, when you go through something like we did this year through lockdown, it's very often to ignore the minute detail, to just almost take a broad brush stroke and put people where it just seems is the best place for them to be. So yeah, the more information that we get, the more valuable it is, and the better informed decision that can be made. We've been helped because people have obviously been aware that there are limited options, so people haven't been as perhaps picky as they would have been in the past. But yeah, it you know, the more information, the better.
Tim, now moving on a few months later, we've now gone into a second lockdown, and we're changing into tiers, which is still effectively to an extent a lockdown. I know that the move in and out of hotels wasn't quite as dramatic this time. I think it was still pretty challenging, by the way, from what I've heard. Have you noticed a difference in the attitude? You know, because now it was new then, people were scared. They're still scared, but they're now like tired of it. They've had enough, some people. So are you finding the cooperation of the changes with policyholders as easy as it was back in April?
Yeah, I think so. I think the policyholders are much more flexible. I think they're prepared to perhaps move into accommodation that maybe before they wouldn't consider. I think we are having to be more flexible with regards to the supplies being used. You know, one of the key factors is making sure that where we're putting clients is obviously COVID clean. The correct, you know, something we've never really had to consider before is the cleaning policies of the hotels and making sure that we're not moving policyholders into non-clean properties. So, you know, even that alone, to be honest, Alan, is something that the AA market's never really had to consider, the cleanliness of a property. But, you know, understandably, policyholders were concerned with where we're moving them to. So to be able to put their mind at ease, knowing that the quality of accommodation we're using is clean and safe, was a help. And also potentially moving further away than where they'd normally be happy to move to, just because of availability and options. Very much food came into the equation. So hotels weren't, if they were open or if they are open now, many of them still aren't providing food because restaurants and bars are closed. So we're having to work in a different way with bagged breakfast, room service being authorised. So it's just the business as a whole adapting to the current climate I'm working with the policy holders who are being much more flexible, as are the contracted clients, the insurers, the adjusters. They're also understanding the position and letting us get on, make the decisions and trusting us. And if you've got that good relationship with the insurer, with the adjuster, or the instructing principal, it's really important that the trust is there, that we are allowed to make those decisions.
All right, some great points there. Owen, back to you. I mean, they're right. Martin and Tim have talked there about the communication and their ability to make the right decisions. But one of the things that comes up now is the complication is more people are finding out they've got COVID just now. It doesn't mean that they're not commenting on whether the rate is higher or not. But I don't have the house. 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden, everybody in my house contracted COVID, despite our carefulness. So when that happens, you can't just move people around easily, can you, from alternative accommodation? So in your claims management role, how do you cope and communicate? Because you've got somebody, let's say they were in a hotel or somewhere else. How do we manage through the fact that they've now got to stay for 10 or 14 days in an isolated period? And indeed, you know, could be heading for hospital or whatever.
So yeah, look, it's a really valid question. And I think a lot of the a lot of the focus we've had, I guess, pre-COVID around the health and safety of our customer, we also have to really consider the health and safety of our network and anyone that's going to go into those properties by way of our loss adjusters, our contractors, our repairers, the list goes on. So we've referred to previously the dynamic ability of our system to record things, and my previous response there was about recording things in relation to when a claim is in life, but actually at the triage point as well, and understanding just what the situation is with the customer and asking questions about, have you contracted this? Are you isolating? Are you someone that's showing symptoms? All of those sort of things will and have influenced what we can and can't do at point of claim. And the categorization of claims linked to whether or not it's an essential piece of work or not is based on both the well-being of the property and the well-being of the customer. It is the case that we have had to put claims on hold, whereby historically we would have progressed works sooner. But if there's detriment to potentially our workforce or the customer, based on COVID and the spread of it, and equally just trying to morally do the right thing to support the country through this, then the claim will go on hold, and it's something that we've had to slow down. If the claim is in life and the customer contracts something, but there is an urgency to still progress something because there is a severe health and safety risk if the customer were to stay in the property, or a really financial burden if the property weren't to get something done to it quite soon, there is still the requirement to move customers along. That has, of course, been more problematic, but with our AA partners, we have been in a position to move people with COVID to different locations. That isn't as easy as just popping them in a hotel, of course, but more isolated dwellings or places that could, again, to the guy's point, require specified cleaning, both before and afterwards, but it is there. The services are there, and we've been able to react and do so, albeit with a whole different bunch of caveats around health and safety and protocol and cleaning and travel to support it. It all of a sudden, because of the situation of the customer, becomes a far more complicated claim than it would have done. But we've got there, and we've now got a case study of how to do it, which means once number one, two, and three have been done, we've got a general rule of thumb as to how to manage that, what the building blocks of that claim are, and to keep the oversight of it.
I mean, like, just listening to that tells you exactly how we adapted and what we've learned this year. Because you were thinking and going through things there, only a fraction of which would have been in our normal daily routine prior to that. So I'm going to go back to two alternative accommodation guys, starting with you, Martin. I'm going to ask you two questions here. You don't know I'm going to ask you this question, so that makes it even funnier to see how...
Right, I'm down.
Nobody can see your face, but I can. The recording is always good. Two things. First of all, the biggest didn't we do well thing, yeah, that gave you the most satisfaction. Now you look back. And then the biggest thing you've learned that we all need to change, we may have changed it. So let's start with the first one. Tim gets longer to think about this, you see. What's your biggest didn't we do well in the accommodation sector for this? You know, what's the thing that you really think, we really did that? That was like, you know, really, really good. We may have already mentioned it.
Yeah. I suppose, obviously, the thing that springs to mind, didn't we do well? Sounds like a principal side. But it was, yeah, it was hotels literally saying, we're shutting our doors in 24 hours' time. You know, all of your customers need to find somewhere else to live. That was, I mean, that did create a bit of panic, if I'm honest with you. We coped with it. But I think, you know, more than that, the whole year has been, you know, full of challenges, and just really coping with it, just getting through it, getting all the customers into accommodation, you know, not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not dropping the ball, really. Just, you know, getting it all done, getting it done well. There will be lessons learned, obviously. You can't go through something like this without taking notes and making sure you don't make mistakes, you know, again. But no, just the whole getting through the whole thing, really, Alan. Coming out the other side, I mean, there are suppliers I know that haven't fared as well. They've struggled for reasons. Obviously, a lot of contractors weren't able to get materials. Some of our removal companies obviously weren't able to do removal. So things like that stick in the mind. And they're things that we will need to bear in mind if and when this happens again. I mean, we're in lockdown 2. We'll probably have lockdown 3 sometime early next year. So, you know, all of the things that we've learned, we need to bring with us, take forward for when it happens again. Yeah.
I think, as we've discovered, Owen's probably still going to be in lockdown 2 for a while longer, given where he lives, which is a bit unfortunate for him. But, you know, just going on to Tim to ask the same questions. But, you know, what we also got to recognise is Accommodation Connect and ICAB provide a great variance in terms of the service. It's not just about hotels and things. You provide a range of moving accommodation for people. It's important. So going back to the original question, there's two questions, I think, Tim, for you again. What's your biggest, didn't we do well, or I can't believe I did that, yeah. And what do you think is the biggest thing for learning and changing next year? Same questions coming at you in a couple of minutes, Owen, so you can start writing down.
So what gave us the most satisfaction? We were really hot on communicating prior to announcements being made by the government. We fed that out to the industry, giving really regular updates as to the current position with regards to alternative accommodation, whether hotels were opening or closing, what the change of process was. And we were really well recognized for that. And it was just about, it was really nice to see that obviously the staff were working extra hard 24 hours around the clock, you know, to make sure we got everyone out of that initial stage. But certainly updating everyone seemed to be key, not just the policyholders, but the insurers, adjusters, keeping them aware of the position, making sure, as Owen mentioned earlier, that data was updated. Everyone wanted to know about where clients were and spend, and everyone was worried about spend going through the roof. So it's really just about making sure that data was fed back. And having our systems, proving that our systems and the technology within our systems worked, and at the push of a button, we could provide that data, which didn't take us away from that real focus point of actually dealing with the clients. Because as much as you got technology, which is great for data in these situations, it was absolutely key that we could speak to the clients and put their mind at ease that they were going to still be accommodated. So use the technology for the data side of things, but make sure the general public could still have an ear and someone that would listen to them at a really challenging time in their life. Because not only, you know, it's easy to forget that, you know, not only have they just had a fire or a flood or something that made them have to move out, they were also dealing with a pandemic and COVID and worried about their family. And putting those two together, it was important they had someone that they could talk to and put their mind at ease that the accommodation part was taken care of. So I think that's the first thing as to what gave us the most satisfaction was dealing with the policy holders and keeping everyone communicated with within the industry. I think moving forward and learning from it, I have no doubt we've all learned, and there's ways that we can improve. And I think what Martin said, we're ready now, and I think we're ready. We've learned lots from the first time round, and it's just about improving. I have no doubt on second and third lockdown, there will be other areas where one can improve. And I think it's about seeing those areas, you know, sitting down, working out what the best way forward is and making sure we implement it.
That's a great answer, Tim. We're just about the end of time, but over to you, Owen. When you look at the services provided in the alternative accommodation sector by Martin and Tim, what do you think really surprised you about something they managed to achieve? You know, so what was your big, didn't they do well moment for them? And what do you think the biggest learning thing for them is, as somebody who utilises that service?
Yeah, I think it's less so a surprise, given the relationships we have and how hard we know, you know, these guys and our broader supply chain network work. It's more so the gratitude of it. So, you know, that everyone has stepped up to the plate, and that's the point that needs the, you know, the almighty pat on the back. You know, a monstrous challenge was set that is unprecedented and unplanned for, and everyone rose to the occasion and supported us and our customers, you know, but kept everything else going as well. You know, despite all of those hundreds of phone calls that had to be done, despite having to relocate staff, we still got the updates. The communication came through. The data remained regular. The decisions that were made were appropriate. All of the day job stuff was done, not instead of, but as well as all of these additional challenges. And I think for these guys and for our business and the industry, the most important part of all of this, when we look back on it, is not to forget it. And try and remember all of the things that we've gone through and take that as a learning and try to retain the flexibility and the attitude that I think we are currently holding on to and not fall back into a status quo of beforehand. So we are now, as an industry, far more dynamic, far more agile, far more flexible, with a whole load of different ways of doing what was a transactional process. Take that into the new, you know, post-lockdown world where we can offer that flexibility and it doesn't always have to be a hotel, or we don't always have to click that button because that's the way we've always done it before. You know, embrace that change that we've gone through. I think what the whole industry has done alongside, you know, everything I've just rambled, is sort of evolve ourselves a good number of years in terms of office working versus home working and the dynamics and the flexibility there, the use of technology, the use of video, the use of different ways of managing claims. Stick with it. Treat this as the new normal with hopefully, you know, a little bit more flexibility about being able to go to restaurants and interact with family and stuff like that. But minus that, hold on to everything we've got.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific advert for the whole industry. And what we're going to be looking at, as we approach the end of this, what we're going to be looking at this week has to be how well we've performed as an industry in times that, it's, you know, this is not just about, oh, we've had a big load of claims in. This is, claims are gone. People have to be moved around. We can't get people in to sort it. How do we deal with it? We're all in this together. We've really risen to the challenge. But equally, and I think this is pretty much the point you were making, Owen, if we've risen to the challenge and we've learned something, so we've adapted and we've learned, we've got to make sure that these changes pass through whatever the next year, 2 years or 3 years is going to hold. Hopefully, we can get back to a more normal life with some of the vaccines that's coming. But I think it would be a mistake to assume that it will be back to the same normal as we had, because this has changed people as well. It changed their outlooks and everything. But I think we should have a good pat on the back for everybody. A particular pat on the back today for the alternative accommodation industry. I think you've done fantastic. So Martin, Tim, take every bit of congratulations away to the other members of that industry. I think it's fantastic. Later on today, on Tuesday, we are going to be looking at in a webinar about how we understand each other's businesses and how that's helped to understand the different priorities that we have. You know, insurers would rather we didn't have as many claims, though they would argue that they like to pay claims because that's a product. Suppliers like claims, it keeps them in business. How do we manage each other's different business priorities through that? I think we've seen some great examples for that. Tomorrow morning, we're in another podcast and we're going to take a look at through all of this, and there was nearly a scare of a subsiding surge. There wasn't a bigger one as we thought, but how's that going to be coping with, and how are these people coping with what often is moving people out of their homes and needing alternative accommodation? Tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at collaboration and boundaries. We've quite a lot of collaboration, and we've talked today about data. So how do we move that forward? How do we make sure we share the right data? But how do we make sure we also know there's a boundary at which point we don't want our commercial advantage to be compromised in any way? So that's us looking forward. It's going to be a great week. Thank you for starting it off, to Owen and to Tim and to Martin. Great to hear from you. Thanks very much. It's the ILC Home Claims Week, and I hope you're going to join us all week. Next week, we'll get your recordings for any of the ones you missed. Any queries, just give me a shout at alan@iloveclaims.com.